This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director John Flynn. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are a discussion of the foster care system in Luzerne County and the recent blood drive here at King's. We'll also hear this week's edition of Music Monday, get a Monarch sports update, and hear the weather forecast for the start of the week. Luzerne County has many facilities meant for serving children who are in need of foster care. Station manager Katie Pugh went to a roundtable discussion with Auditor General Eugene DePasquale about the issues of this welfare system and talked to social service professionals.
The Office of the Pennsylvania Auditor General released a report this month showing 13 randomly selected counties across the state having deficiencies in their child welfare systems, including Luzerne County. Auditor General Eugene DePasquale visited the Luzerne County Children and Youth Services Office this week to discuss the report with local officials and to get their feedback on how the system can be improved at a roundtable-style discussion.
We came out about 2 weeks ago now with a State of the Child report in Pennsylvania. Luzerne County is our first stop, which will be stops all over the state. I'm going to talk about basically the crisis that is facing our children across Pennsylvania. We obviously know that you've had some issues here in Luzerne. Part of this is about having a chance to talk about that and some of the steps you're taking to address it. But also, part of this is to let the people of Luzerne County know that you're not alone.
The Auditor General explained his strategy to help fix the issues highlighted in the report.
But now we want to meet county by county to try to get really underneath the hood so we can get even more information to help drive the necessary change in Harrisburg. Talking about some of the duplicative paperwork we're dealing with law enforcement, that's A. And B, some of the quality training that is happening in Luzerne County to help prepare the caseworkers for some of these challenging situations. We need to make sure that's getting to all the caseworkers across the state.
General DePasquale also discussed the two primary issues to examine going forward.
There's a couple of things that I think are important to highlight this. Number one is for anyone that's worked in the system, and obviously the pay is not astronomical. But I believe that even if the pay were six-figure, it is an incredibly challenging job. And then you throw in the opioid crisis has taken what was a challenging situation and took it 50 miles an hour to 180 miles.
Lou Palmieri, Executive Director of Northeast Foster Care and Sociology Professor at King's College, discussed how foster care agencies work with children and youth services.
The general headline that the child welfare system is broken, I have been saying that same thing for the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm at the tail end of child abuse investigation, because there's always what they call concurrent planning, two goals at the same time. One was to return home or return to the family, and then the other one was permanency. Those two goals sometimes were in parallel. Sometimes they would finally intersect and they would both be achieved at the same time.
The system, Palmieri explains, has changed recently, causing issues with the way children receive care.
That system worked for a long period of time. But about 6 or 7 years ago, there has been this incredible push to keep kids within their family system, to keep them within extended family. When abuse and neglect has necessitated the child to be removed from that immediate environment. In the old days, the default position was place them in foster care and then do their due diligence and check to see if there's any family members that can be identified to be permanent caretakers.
Palmieri explains in simple terms how he thinks the system can be improved.
As a sixth grader, a wonderful story about a caseworker who suddenly was handed an investigation that was incredibly involved. Multiple crimes were uncovered as the investigation ensued. This became priority number one. But this caseworker also had 19 other priority families that just kind of got pushed to the wayside. But those families are just as important. So if you're one person, you've got 19 families, and you've got 19 crises, you can do the math. So if we could cut that caseload to 10, we could double the amount of people. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. The system just needs more soldiers.
A Children and Youth Services caseworker who wished to remain anonymous talked about her daily experience as a caseworker.
I'm just glad that somebody acknowledges that the caseworkers are underpaid and overworked. At this point in time, our caseloads are high. We have an excessive amount of cases. We don't get paid a lot, and people don't understand that we have to put other people's families above our own, and we don't have a lot of time to be able to go out with our own family, that we're spending most of our time providing for the needs of other families. It takes an emotional toll, and we're also victims of secondary trauma, and that's why the system is as flawed as it is, because we're just tired.
The State of the Child report can be found at paauditor.gov and has detailed information on Luzerne County's Children and Youth Services performance. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Station Manager Katie Pugh.
The American Red Cross in northeastern Pennsylvania recently hosted their semi-annual blood drive at King's last week. WRKC's Lauren Gallagher attended the event.
The annual blood drive at King's College is one way students at King's give back to the community. Many students volunteer to support the cause and be a part of an effort to save lives by donating their blood. A nurse technician that works for the American Red Cross, Vicki Johnson, helped with a blood drive at King's. She talked about prepping people to give blood.
We try to explain everything, what to expect with the needle. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger needle, but a lot of times you get the burning and the pinching from the anticoagulants. And plus a normal type of when the needle goes in, like from the doctor. And once they do it and we talk them through it, they're fine. But we keep talking to them to keep their mind focused on something else instead of having that needle in. And the next minute we tell them that they're done, they say, wow, that went quick. And a lot of them have come back. After explaining, and it really it's not that bad.
Johnson emphasized the need for people to donate blood.
Donate, save somebody's lives, a baby, depending what blood type you are. You could say for a cancer patient, babies in the NIC unit, it's worth doing it.
Tina Fumo, who is a part of the Blood Council and has donated blood and even plasma before, discussed why people should donate.
It definitely doesn't hurt as much as people think it does, and I think it's just a really good way. You could totally be helping someone who really needs it and is in a tough spot. So just take like an hour out of your time and it can really help someone.
Another donator, Jessica Ujobi, explained that to anyone who fears giving blood that the process is simple and similar to receiving a flu shot. She also suggested more people should find ways, like donating blood, to help the community.
I think everybody should try to donate, whether like you can or cannot. Just try to give back to the community in any way with the American Red Cross because it's an awesome organization.
Although Daniela Vigueras has a fear of needles, she believes giving blood is worth it. Vigueras explained why she decided to donate despite her fear.
I'd say, you know, it's a good thing to do, and you might as well get over that fear eventually.
Vigueras, like many of the people who decided to donate, appreciate that King's College offered a way to donate to people in need.
It's really cool that our school is sponsoring blood drives. I know like a lot of schools do that, but it's pretty nice to try and help out hospitals and stuff.
First-time blood donor Alexis Stieber was inspired to help people by donating blood. She had a great experience at the blood drive despite being a little nervous about the process. Stieber discussed why she would gladly do it again.
It was actually really good. Like, everyone here was really awesome and friendly, and they have all that, like, free food after, which was really awesome. But it was a really great experience, and I'm probably going to do it again in the future.
To anyone considering donating blood but is scared, Stieber explained that the process is surprisingly not as bad as she thought, and that it was worth it to help save lives.
It's just, like, don't be scared, because, like, I know, like, everyone's like, oh, there's, like, needles or whatever, but, like, it honestly is, like, 2 seconds of, like, not even, like, pain or anything. Like, really, it's an awesome thing to do. People should do it.
Thanks to the 111 donors from King's College, the American Red Cross was able to produce 86 units of blood, which ultimately helps 258 people. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Lauren Gallagher.
Coming up next, we will hear another installment of Music Monday, get a Monarch Sports update, and hear the 48-hour weather forecast.
Hi, this is Alan Stout. Please join us on Thursday, October 12th at the Woodlands for Jane Jam. This special night of music will celebrate the life of Jane Train and will feature performances by 21 acts on 3 stages. Doors to the Over 21 event open at 6 p.m. and it will be nonstop music until 1 a.m. Proceeds will benefit Jason McClough and the new Janet Raines Memorial Music Scholarship Fund. For more information, visit Jane Jam on Facebook. Jane Jam, Thursday, October 12th at the Woodlands. Hope to see you there as we all celebrate a remarkable life.
Hello everyone, this is Antoine from Jamaica. You are now listening to 88.5 WRKC, Radio King's College.
The news at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
What's going on? This is Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC, and you're listening to Music Monday, your weekly spotlight for all the best new music in college radio. The first song we're going to listen to is by the Dream Syndicate. Inspired by the Velvet Underground, and only about 10 years younger than them, the Dream Syndicate has been around for a while now. 35 years after their first album dropped, the band is still cool enough to be played on college radio. So here they are with the title track from their newest album, How Did I Find Myself Here? Now let's listen to Shenandoah Davis, a newer artist than the Dream Syndicate, but totally talented in her own right. This one is track number 2 from her new album, Souvenirs. It's called Supernatural Powers. And finally, the headliner to this edition of Music Monday is LCD Sound System. Always a treat to hear, LCD Sound System is back after 2 years of no new music. The new album is really cool, and I dig the gimmick behind the track listing. All of the song titles are in lowercase, a nice little tidbit that gives the experience some character. The album is called American Dream, and right now, we're going to listen to Call the Police. And that's it for this edition of Music Monday. If you enjoyed the selections tonight, make sure to always tune in to the WRKC News at 5 to hear the best new music in college radio. I've been Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC. Have a wonderful night.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. On Saturday, the King's College football team faced off against MAC Conference leader Albright College. At one point, the Monarchs had a 17-point lead against the Lions of Albright College. During the second half of football, Albright amounted a comeback to defeat King's 34-31 to move to 5-0 on the season. The Monarchs fell to 2-3 on the season. The Monarchs' last two defeats have been decided by 3 points. On 20 completions out of 42 passing attempts, quarterback Zach Whitehead threw for 359 yards with 3 touchdowns. Receiver Corey Flynn had a career game with 7 catches for 144 yards and 2 touchdowns. Running back Jordan Downs was highly effective, rushing for 101 yards and a touchdown on 16 rushing attempts. He also scored a touchdown on 4 receptions for 93 yards. The Monarchs look to snap their 2-game skid as they travel to Dallas, Pennsylvania to take on MAC Conference rival Missouri. Concordia University. The Monarchs men's and women's tennis team travel to Lafayette College on Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. The King's men and women's soccer programs hosted a doubleheader against MAC Conference rival Concordia University at McCarthy Stadium Saturday night. The women played on the pitch first. The Lady Monarchs were defeated by the 25th nationally ranked Lady Cougars 2-0. The Lady Monarchs' record slips to 4-3-2 on the season. The Lady Monarchs will remain idle until Saturday as they host Manhattanville College at 5 p.m. The men's soccer team took down the Cougars 1-0. Sophomore August Axman scored the game-winning goal on a penalty kick with 2:01 left in the second overtime. The Monarchs improved to 6-3-1 on the season. The men returned to the pitch on Tuesday to take on Penn College at McCarthy Stadium at 7 p.m. The Lady Monarch volleyball team defeated Penn State Hazleton 3-0 on Friday. Alexis Swagler led Kings with 9 kills, 8 digs, and 4 service aces. Kings returns to the court Tuesday with an important MAC Freedom Conference home matchup against Wilkes University. University at 7 p.m. in the Scanlon Gymnasium. The Lady Monarchs have an 11-8 record on the season. The women's field hockey team started the season with 5 straight losses. Since then, the Lady Monarchs have rattled off 4 straight wins. On Friday night, the Lady Monarchs took on Delaware Valley University in a MAC conference matchup. The Lady Monarchs defeated Delaware Valley 3-2 in overtime. Anna Morgan and Selena Malakari scored their regulation goals. Senior Anastasia Araviakis scored her first career goal in the overtime to give the Lady Monarchs their 5th straight win. The Lady Monarchs return to McCarthy Stadium tonight at 7 p.m. to take on Moravian College. Now in the world of professional sports, the New York Yankees host the Minnesota Twins in the American League one-game playoff wildcard game tomorrow. The winner of tomorrow's contest will take on the Cleveland Indians in the division series. In the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Los Angeles Chargers 26-24. The Eagles lead the NFC East division with a 3-1 record. The Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday at home. Fellow division rival, the New York Giants, lost their 4th game in a row to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a game-winning field goal as time expired. The Giants look for their first win of the season against the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. The Pittsburgh Steelers crushed the Baltimore Ravens 26-9 to improve to 3-1 on the season to lead the AFC North Division. The Steelers take on the Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be clear with a low of 48 degrees. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 74, and Wednesday will be partly cloudy with highs around 80. The King's Theatre Department is hosting auditions for the play Italian-American Reconciliation. Auditions will take place at the Maffey Theatre between now and 6:30 this evening, and tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 9:30. Sister Simone Campbell from Nuns on the Bus will host an informal meet and greet tomorrow afternoon from 3:30 to 4:30 in the Posture Pact Room in McGowan. She will then speak later that evening in the Burke Auditorium in McGowan at 7 p.m. about practicing faith and justice in polarizing times. The Multicultural and International Club is sponsoring the Ultimate Flag Challenge Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. They are reminding students to come out and guess the flags of as many countries as they can so they can earn some bragging rights. Stay tuned for my show, Flynn for the Win. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director John Flynn. Have a magnificent Monday, good night, and good luck.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.